Going on from Hold On to Nothing, step 15, takes us automatically to step 16, which is Don't Defend. You could easily add to that, Don't Explain Yourself, and Don't Apologize either. But anyway, let's start with Don't Defend. The energy of the infinite self is the energy of the initiate. Nobody's going to understand that. Once you begin to get it, you're not going to be able to explain it to anybody, and you certainly aren't going to be able to show it to anyone. The very fact that you do try to show it to someone, or you try to explain it, means it is not it. It's invisible. It's silent power. It's knowing without speaking. It's acting without requiring confirmation or observers. It's doing without effort. Maybe that's a bit dissatisfying for the ego, but that is the reality of this power. You can't wield it. If you wield it, you become satanic. If you try to show people, it's egotistical, and it will fall from you. It'll disappear through your fingers, like King Arthur's sword, Excalibur. The sword came from the Lady of the Lake. It came from the yin, from femininity, silence, quietness, the placid lake. Then because of confrontation and wars and because of misuse, the Excalibur fell from Arthur's grip and returned to the lake. The infinite power is a silent power. If you have to defend yourself, if you have to explain yourself, you're lost. But at the very most, you can say, I know nothing. What are you doing? I'm doing nothing. Why are you getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning? I just like it that way. I'm best in the early mornings. You can't be an exhibition of power because then your desire for power comes from an egotistical standpoint. If you're not wielding power, if you're not trying to establish observers, if you're not falling for the common trap of having to have people observe your spirituality, observe your holiness, observe your goodness, then you can be invisible. You can have an immense knowledge, an immense power, and when you're walking along, people don't know whether you're the greatest initiate that ever lived or the guy that works at the 7-Eleven. You can be inside yourself without promotion, without attempting to elevate yourself, without seeking observers. You don't have to defend the power. The power is indefensible. So don't get into arguments with people. Don't get into discussions with people. Don't talk about yourself and don't talk about the path. Keep it to yourself. Make your life mysterious. Don't let the energy escape. It's like having a bunch of butterflies under a hat. They're beautiful and colorful and they create energy. But if you lift your hat and you show people, the butterflies fly away. So from here on out, you have to learn to internalize what you know as well as internalizing your life. Internalizing your life is the process that I described earlier on where you start to see external life as signs, symbols, messages, and signposts. It's a dialogue. But as you internalize the power, you can't hold onto it. You've always got to let it flow through you. It's a golden wind, and you sure as hell aren't going to get out there and try to develop converts. You don't need to promote. If you have a perception, act dumb. Stay silent, and the power doubles and redoubles. So, don't defend. Don't explain yourself either. When people ask, what are you doing? Just smile and say nothing. In defending and explaining, you're apologizing. You don't have to apologize for the fact that you've decided to take life in a sacred way. You don't have to apologize for the fact that you are silently walking from ego to spirit. You just don't have to apologize. Okay, if you step on somebody's foot, you can say, I'm sorry for stepping on your foot. But what I mean is, don't apologize for your actions. Don't apologize for your beliefs. And don't apologize for the way that you may be developing a different perception. Because as you take on these 33 steps, you will become extremely different extremely quickly. Because it's not the way that ordinary people operate. So, you don't have to sell anybody, and you don't have to convert anybody. By explaining the power, you belittle it. By showing it, you're saying you don't believe it. It isn't real, it isn't true, it isn't me. So don't bother with any of that. Just silently work on yourself and know that you're growing. The point where you feel you are not growing is when you are growing the most. When you engage the ego, when you think you're doing fantastically well, when you've got your saffron robes and you're clanking your little gong and everybody's watching, that's when you're not growing. That's when you're right in the currency of the ego. Establishing observers and admirers, people to watch you and say, isn't she beautiful? Isn't she amazing? Isn't he spiritual? Is a weakness. The fact is, take the power inside, don't defend it, don't apologize, and don't explain yourself to people. Just do what you do. The point here is to make your journey sacred and silent, which takes us automatically to step 17, which is constantly purify yourself. To constantly purify means that you understand that you will hourly and daily be assailed by the ego's perception, by its traits, its urges, its desires. So you can't just take on a concept and that's it, because it takes you a while to belong to the idea. You can understand a concept, can't you? Like, your word is law, intellectually, in 3 to 5 seconds. But to actually feel it, to feel it deep within, that takes longer. So, in constantly purifying yourself, we're looking always to be vigilant against the negativity of the ego. Be careful with your dialogue, and don't express negative energy in the way you talk. Even if you feel negative, don't voice it. Be careful with that and purify your feelings. When you feel crazy, pull back and relax. Take a moment to be with nature. Take a moment to be with yourself to figure out what is really going on. When you feel angry, take a moment to analyze, what are you angry about? In the little booklet that comes with this program, there's a chapter on anger. It shows you how to process emotion, particularly anger. All you have to know about anger is that all anger comes from loss. There isn't any other form of anger. So when you're angry, rather than experiencing the anger as a feeling and exhibiting anger, you silence yourself and you observe the anger and say, hey, wait a minute, I need to purify myself. Why am I angry? Ask yourself, what have you lost? You may have lost something tangible, like your car or your stereo system, or you may have lost something less tangible, like an opportunity, a job, a daily rhythm, a friendship. Look at what you have lost and then agree to lose it. If you like, you may set upon a plan to get back what you've lost. But generally speaking, when things disappear from your life, it's just the universal law liberating you of stuff. Most of the stuff you lose isn't worth chasing after. To purify yourself, you have to spend time on your own. And you have to constantly sift through your thoughts and feelings, asking yourself, hey, what are my motivations here? You know, what are my urges? What are my feelings? How do I actually feel? How do I get to the bottom of these issues within me? Then, of course, you're going to have to come up with some kind of physical, emotional, mental, philosophical, and spiritual discipline for your life. I'm going to deal with that in one of the later sessions. By purifying yourself and staying inside the energy, you're not going to trash that energy by suddenly doing something weird like eating a whole bunch of junk or going out for a week or two and drinking yourself stupid or getting stoned so you can't operate. You're not going to take your energy into places where it'll be trashed. You're not going to trash your energy by fighting with people. If a confrontation looks like it's developing, start to walk away. There isn't a fight that's worth having. The initiate walks away. Only the fool stands and fights. Sure, you can defend yourself if someone comes at you physically, but the best form of self-defense is your feet, which you use for walking away. A lot of people have got hurt when the ego's indignation forced them into a confrontation. Don't mess with that. Each year in the mountains of New Mexico, north of Santa Fe, at a place called Sipapu, I present a series of trainings called Warriors in the Mist. In that training, we learn martial arts, but we're not learning martial arts to attack people or to be confrontational. We learn it just to resonate a stronger energy and to develop confidence, as well, of course, for health and fitness. It's very much like the Shaolin in China, that were a religious Taoist group that had martial arts as a part of their discipline and their culture. Martial arts is a good thing because it helps you feel strong and capable. If you resonate powerfully, silently, you'll never be a victim, because predators pick on people that are not strong. They don't pick on the powerful, silent types. So you can be strong without ever getting into a confrontation with anybody. And you can be the greatest martial arts exponent that there's ever been and never be in a fight. So going back to purifying yourself means you'll be constantly vigilant. You're not going to take yourself into places where your energy will be wasted or where there's something degrading going on. You're going to set good boundaries. If something's happening that isn't a part of the spiritual noble ideals that you've laid down for yourself, then avoid it. If you have friends that are rat bags and sleaze bags, don't judge them. Just observe them to be sleaze bags and walk away. You don't have to have them as friends. You make choices that constantly take you towards purity and strength. Stay out of places that you know will drag you down. Stay out of relationships that you know will drag you down. Always select the highest energy, the strongest place. When walking into a place like a restaurant, ask yourself, where is the power spot here? Then take it, if it's available. If not, take the second most powerful place. By being a policeman for your energy and guarding it, you're also going to be sure that you don't waste it. So much energy is wasted in dead ends, or you trash it on futile things, worrying and so forth. So purification is observing what works and what doesn't. They say that 80% of your money comes from 20% of your actions. So you will have quality actions that bring you money, and you'll have loads of other actions that are just tooling around keeping you happy, or just where you're pretending to be busy, important or active, but it's not actually getting you anything. So as you purify and watch, you see what works and what doesn't. If there's certain people that drive you crazy, avoid them. If you think, every time I see Harry and Shmary, I get into an argument with them, so I think I'm going to avoid Harry and Shmary from here on out. It's simple. If you go into a place and it feels strange, leave. Trust your feelings. Leave. If you're in a restaurant and there's something odd about it, walk out. If as you walk into the restaurant, say, the waitress is fighting with the chef, leave. It's a warning. Watch the energy around you. If it's balanced, stay. If it's imbalanced, walk. If you're standing in line and the person behind you feels odd, move. Let them go first. Stand at the back of the line. But begin to move away from imbalance and towards strength. The infinity inside of you is very beautiful and very important. And you're not going to trash your energy by taking it into places or into situations where there's copious amounts of sludge. And you're not going to do things that will lower your energy. Dysfunctional behavior, food problems, heavy drinking, drug taking. Sure, you can have the odd drink and party down a bit. But a little bit of this and a little bit of that, not copious amounts of sending your energy down the gurgler. Remember what I said before. The faster your energy goes, the greater your experience in this lifetime, the greater your awareness, but also the greater the possibility of you falling from a great height. So when you have the energy of a slug in a puddle and you're plodding along at 20,000 cycles a second, in a way, you're powerless, but you're fairly safe. Once you raise your energy and you're going faster and faster, if you fall out of balance, you're going to fall extremely out of balance extremely quickly from a great height. So guard your energy and don't allow things to get out of control. If something looks like it's getting out of control, nip it in the bud. Act quickly. Fix it. Do something positive that's going to reestablish your dominance over your life. You see, at some time, probably a long time ago, you made the decision to evolve. The reason you made the decision was because you had used up the energy of where you found yourself. You said to yourself, I want to evolve. It's almost as if in some sacred place, there's a scroll with your name on it saying, destined to evolve out of the earth plane. If that is your destiny, why mess around on a sidetrack? Purify, stay on top of things, walk slow, control, and watch. Don't allow things to trash this journey. This brings me to the 18th step, which is respect all living things. Observe the beauty in all things. What I'm saying here is, as you develop a spirituality within, you're not going to come from the grabbing, rapacious attitude that many have. You're not going to consume more than you need to. You're not going to trash things just for the sake of trashing them. You're going to have respect for the neighborhood and for the people. Of course, all living things includes humans. It's easy to respect people when you know them and love them, when they're your friends. But it's much harder to respect people that you don't know. And it's particularly hard to respect people when their energy is a bit grim. That's the challenge. Now, you have to understand why their energy is grim in order to respect them. The reason why people act in a dysfunctional way, or in a criminal way, or in a way that is hurtful to others, is because they are victims of their own personalities, of their own egos. They're victims of a society that teaches us all sorts of strange concepts about importance, glamour, and material wealth. Grab what you can, cheat, rob, pillage, steal. That's just part of the disease of this evolution. If you look at it from a finite point of view, it can really bug you and scare you. But if you look at it from an infinite point of view, people that are ratbags are just people that are learning to deal with their egos. They may cause a tremendous amount of mayhem in our society, but deep within, they're infinite. Deep within, they're eternal. Deep within, they have the God force within them. So respect all living things means extending to everyone at least a neutral respect. You don't have to go out of your way to please people necessarily, and you don't have to go out of your way to commiserate. You can leave people alone. But at least respect people as much as you can, and particularly go out of your way to be kind and respectful to people when they're treating you badly or they're treating you in an antisocial way. That means putting away your normal reaction and coming from the love of the infinite self. I can't say I'm perfect at this myself, but I'm trying, and I've worked on it a lot. And I don't think anybody could ever become perfect at it constantly, unless they were a saint. But it is a marvelous thing when you can become magnanimous towards others, even if they aren't magnanimous towards you. That's your test. The other part of respecting all living things is respecting nature and animals. When I first got on the path, I decided I'd like to be a vegetarian because I didn't feel good about eating meat. It wasn't just a spiritual perspective. It was because meat is often pumped so full of toxins and hormones and antibiotics. I thought respecting all living things would include respecting myself, so I became a vegetarian, and I did that for 7 years. However, vegetarianism is a very difficult discipline to sustain indefinitely because there are certain nutrients in meat that are very hard to obtain in a completely vegetarian diet. And I found, flying from city to city, going from hotel to hotel, I couldn't sustain my energy being 100% vegetarian. So after 7 years, I eventually decided to include a little bit of meat in my diet. And so I still have some meat each week, in very small amounts. But I'm definitely not vegetarian anymore now. But it helped me in the early days when I first started training. However, respecting all living things also extends to projecting a love for the animals, projecting a care for them and not killing them unnecessarily. I don't personally agree with hunting. I can understand if you're a tribesman and you have to hunt to feed your family, but most modern hunters don't really need to go out into the forest and start blowing little animals' heads off. But that's just my personal opinion. And if you're a hunter, well, God bless you and I hope it goes well for you. In respecting all living things, it assists you to become a big person, extending that love that you have and extending it out to everybody. So when you're feeling a little bit grumpy and you're walking down the street, it takes almost a superhuman effort, doesn't it, to be nice to people. However, if you're coming out of that infinite being within, you need to be nice to people as a discipline. You need to respect as part of the discipline of this quest. That means being polite, respecting people, not discriminating against them, you know, not harboring hatred or animosity, no sexual discrimination, racial, disabilities, whatever. None of that is on. You have to become an equitable being. Most discrimination comes from fear. We fear those things that we're not used to. So we tend to think this group over here are more dangerous than that group over there. And so that scares us. All discrimination comes from a sense of importance, where people believe they're more important or better or more creative or more socially acceptable than other people. We live on a planet that is an incredible mixture. Yes, there's a lot of evil, and yes, there's an awful lot of grim people that are a long way from making the journey from ego to spirit. But we have an infinite amount of time to evolve. Our planet has at least another 4 to 5 billion years before it will be used up. You can be assured that if you're infinite, if you're eternal, if you have patience, you can know that things will get sorted out in the end and that people will come to a sense of sacredness gradually. Another thing that comes from this journey is that as you discipline yourself and develop control, you become automatically humble. It's not something you can fake, is it? You're either a humble person or you aren't. But the wonderful thing is that once you stop talking about yourself, showing off, demanding observers, cackling on about your achievements, pushing to the front and so on, humility becomes automatic, and it's part of that respect. Remember this. The ego has a tremendous amount of violence in it, not just physical violence, but also an emotional, intellectual violence. The ego likes to hurt people, likes to make them less, to put them down. It likes to attack, and it likes to make people uncomfortable because it's uncomfortable. So part of respecting all living things is to not project an emotional, intellectual violence, as well as, of course, not projecting a physical violence. So don't trash people. Even though you know that what a person is telling you is absolutely ridiculous, you know they're around the bend, and you know that perhaps they won't be able to pull it off, whatever they're trying to explain to you, don't trash them. Try to build them up. Say, that's a good idea. You might have to make some slight adjustments, but I wish you well. I hope it works. And let 'em be. Try to stay away from this grimness of the ego that has to depreciate other people to feel okay. Respecting all living things is not projecting any unnecessary violence against the animals, against the plants, and not projecting an intellectual or emotional violence against other people. That's the sacred way. As you enter into that serenity within you, in meditation, prayer, purification, discipline, you begin to appreciate how enormous the God force is, how big it is, how much love is involved and the authority it has, just through its indescribable magnificence. Once you've had even the slightest glimpse of that energy within your feelings, you're going to be an extremely humble person. As I said before, I've seen up that near-death tube on many occasions now, and I've seen what the light looks like at the end of the tube. The God force. There are no human words to describe the magnificence of it. I'm completely lost to explain it. It is utterly the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. It's the greatest power that exists. A glimpse of that energy, and every uptight, stuck-up twerp on this earth plane would sit down and shut up because they would be embarrassed. So even if you haven't had a near-death experience, you'll still be able to feel the God force in your heart as you begin to control the ego, and that will automatically make you a more humble person. So respecting all living things is understanding this point in your evolution and understanding the magnificence of it and doing your best not to allow the personality to create mayhem for you. Respecting the air, the water, the earth, the spirits of nature, the beauty of this planet, and respecting also the unseen dimensions that permeate this physical plane as well. From respect, we generate consideration and love. So by being respectful, we learn about ourselves. The trick here is to be respectful in situations where your natural tendency is to not be respectful. Step 19 is the power rises from within. The initiate doesn't need to push. It's quite a hard concept to grasp in our modern world that's so competitive. But let me explain it to you like this. At the regular tick-tock level of energy, the hypothetical 20,000 cycles a second, you have to force things. You have to push. You have to get people to pay attention. You have to make a lot of noise, yearn, shove, promote, and really try hard. Most of the power you have is internal. As you garner the power, you can pull to you all that you need rather than pushing to sell things, to tell people about your product, service, or knowledge. You can just allow them to come to you. It's so much easier when you allow life to come to you. In pushing, you tend to move things away from you. You've had the experience, haven't you, where you've gone into a second-hand car showroom and trying to buy a car, and the sleazy salesman comes up to you and is really trying hard to stuff the car onto you and telling you how fantastic it is and telling you how you can't live without it. You've already made up your mind to buy it, but the very fact that he's leaning into you puts you off, and often you walk away. So be careful that you don't have that effect upon people, upon life. Don't push and shove so hard that they deny you just because you're pushing. Once you understand the energy within you is becoming more rarefied, once you understand the power is there, you can visualize and feel the things you need as part of your life and then take concerted action, moving towards your goals. If you want to heal a situation with a person, you don't necessarily have to tramp across town to talk to them. You can just breathe them in and breathe them out in a meditation. So, pull up that person in your mind's eye, say their name, breathe them in, hold your breath for a moment, exhale your energy and project light towards them. Do it 11 times. And as you breathe them in and out, send them love and healing. Next time you see them, they'll be different, or they'll be gone. Years ago, a company I owned was being audited by the IRS. The agent was giving us hell. He'd been on the one tax form for almost 18 months. three of us got together at 4 a.m. in the morning, and we visualized the agent real small in the palm of our hand. And we projected love to him, and then we blew a short, sharp breath to send him away. Just a blow. 5 days later, he called to say he was leaving the IRS. And could we help him get a job in the local area as an accountant? The tax matter was resolved in a couple of weeks once the new agent took over. So by working on the situation internally, we fixed it rather than suffering it externally, intellectually, trying to accommodate his needs. Understand that when you have a problem, there is an internal solution. The healing is an internal transformation. So you don't have to shove and you don't have to push to make things happen. You can stay in the flow and move towards where the highest energy is. And of course, your serenity and your balance becomes a self-perpetuating affirmation of the power within you. So you have to understand the power is there, and you have to understand that you can move it. You can project love, healing, reasonableness. You can change anything. You can stand tall in silence and just move the energy around like a lighthouse. So begin to think in terms of eliminating struggle from your life. Work inwardly. I wrote a book once that was quite successful called Life Was Never Meant to Be a Struggle. You might have seen it in the stores. It talks about going beyond struggle. Of course, all struggle is part of the manifestation of the personality. It's part of the anguish that the ego creates, yearning and demanding and fighting to sustain itself. Pull back and get yourself into a position where you can control. If, let's say, you have a problem with money, start working your way back from that. Most people think that the way to get out of money problems is to earn more money. But if you're imbalanced at, say, $1,000 a month, you'll be extremely imbalanced at $5,000 a month and totally out of control at 10 grand a month. So how you handle money is to get into control of the money that you do have. If you only have 500 a month to live on, you have to think of a way to live in circumstances that don't cost 800 a month. There's no point in you making 5 grand a month if you're spending 7, because you're still going to be in financial trouble. So if you're imbalanced with money, pull back inside, quieten the ego, and tell it, hey, we don't need all these things. We don't need a fancy apartment. We don't need a fancy car. We just need to first establish control. That way we don't have to push and shove to get what we want in life. We can be balanced, take our time, move towards abundant situations, and think about what you're doing, developing discipline and moving powerfully, not wasting your energy. When you have a burning need, it destroys your power. So if you absolutely have to sell something to someone, they won't buy it. If you absolutely have to have the job, they won't hire you. If you absolutely have to have this person in your life because you love them and can't live without them, the very fact that you are all over them makes them throw up and flee. So as you understand this, you understand the powers within. You start to act inwardly. Each success gives you confidence for the next situation. You know that you can pull to you whatever you want. You only have to visualize it, concentrate on it, and know it to be granted. Come with me now to the next session, and I'll talk to you about a very powerful concept from the Tao called Wu Wei. Wu Wei is the idea of non-action. Come, I think you'll find it very interesting.